Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shanks Show.
Hour number three of our broadcast. Welcome back. I'm Bill Shanks with Russell Brown here on this Wednesday midweek show. We appreciate you being with us. And we are talking sports and taking your phone calls from Twitter. Our boy Ken from Cumming just forwarded a tweet from the Bear on the game day show on ESPN. Listen to this. In the last 2 years, Georgia has faced six top 15 teams not named Alabama. The Bulldogs have allowed 13, 3, 11, 13, 0, and 3 points in those games and have won each of them by an average of 24 points. All six went under the total, and Georgia covered the spread in 5 of the 6. Think about that now. That's 16, 27, 40, 3 points in 6 games to top 15 teams. Wow. I mean, there just are things that are being written about this team with the stuff like that and some of the things we shared earlier from Brent Rollins, and it's like, wow. It's just kind of a wow moment. I mean, hate to be like Ken, but Wow.
It's impressive. I mean, and it feels like, I mean, you could ask the question now. I mean, is it UGA versus the field? Who you got?
I know it. I mean, when you hear more things like that, right, it's hard not to ask that question. It really is. Back to the phones we go. Kirkland is in Macon. Hey, Kirkland.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys, man. And I posed a tweet to Bill King earlier today, him and Blake Graffino.
Yeah, I missed Blake today. What was he say? What did he say?
When they were talking about that Georgia had weaknesses and stuff, and all different weaknesses of Georgia, he sounded like he got up and saying that Georgia had weaknesses and stuff. I think he was talking about, like, along the defensive front with Nolan Smith out, and Nogay was still playing pretty good even with all those weaknesses. But what I posed, the question I posed him, and I get a little feedback from you guys. Georgia's went 24-0 in regular season games the last 2 years. Where's the weaknesses at? Are there any weaknesses? I mean, 24-0? I mean, you tell me.
I don't see any weaknesses on this team. I hate to say it. I mean, I know they're not perfect. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they're the best team in college. Well, I mean, I do think they're the best team in college football. I'm not saying they're the best team in the history of this sport. And, you know, I mean, we could look back 3 years ago when LSU had their 15-0 year and how dominant they were. That was more of an offensive team, though, Kirkland, right? And I mean, tell me a weakness. Give me a weakness. Find me a weakness.
That's the tweet I posed to him. And y'all were talking about earlier about, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, about playing 4 quarters. I mean, Georgia Tech, I mean, Jeff Collins should have got fired. I mean, Georgia Tech, they were looking big, fast, and strong. And the wide receiver, he's going to sign a pro contract soon. But, I mean, they scored a touchdown bird. But it's like we said, like we be talking about, you're going to have to play 4 quarters with the team. Can anybody get past 4 quarters? I don't see any team in college football that can do that. If it does, that will be a miracle. Like we're talking four quarters.
You're right.
60 minutes.
And Kirkland, you know they're playing teams that are giving – not that teams don't give their best every week, but think about it. When Mississippi State and Kentucky, for example, hosted Georgia, they had the number one team in the country coming in, and Georgia got every single ounce of energy and effort they could from those two teams. Georgia won. Georgia blew Mississippi State out, 26 points, I believe, and 10 points over Kentucky. And it was not easy, but they made it look easy. I mean, you think about those two games by themselves, two road games against one team that won 8 games, another team that won 10 games. And they, you know, they were not easy, but Georgia made it look easy. So, I mean, I don't know what people want, and I understand Blake Ruffino trying to do that, but I haven't seen a drop off since Nolan Smith went out. Have you?
Not at all, man. I really don't understand people, but This team, they're the fans that kind of like what you're talking about, them being the boogeyman and stuff. I mean, they kind of suck the life out of you. You come in there playing good, but they suck the life out of you, and you have nothing left by the time the game's over with.
No.
That's why they're winning all these games.
Yeah.
And the mailman will still deliver. And if Kenny Milton and McIntosh get rolling at the end of the season and going to the tournament season, it's going to be tough to beat this team, I think. And again, the mailman will deliver.
Absolutely. All right, Kirkland. Thank you, man. But see, Russ, that goes back to what we were saying earlier about when you have that defense to rely on, it puts you in the catbird seat on so many different levels to win a football game. I mean, it's just night and day. When you don't have any question about your defense's ability, are they going to get beat from time to time? It's like Brent was saying earlier about, is Jaden Daniels going to run up a 15-yard run? Well, sure. Yeah, they are. Is Khalil Ringo going to get beat perhaps from Malik Nabers on a pass play? Maybe. But when you still have that locked down, I mean, just because they do it in the middle of the field does not mean when they get in that red zone it's going to happen, because there's another lockdown right there coming to where it's like, go ahead. And when you have that in your disposal, in your back pocket, whatever you want to say, I mean, that's an easy way to run a football game.
Yeah, but you know, the one weakness I think for Georgia that's kind of shown up here lately, and this is kind of to your point, is the red zone offense, specifically
right
inside the five, and they're having to settle for field goals. And that's, you know, obviously you want 7 points there, but when they're not coming back down the field and getting 7 points, it's not a 3-7 situation, it's a 3-0 situation.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's what a good defense can do. I mean, And that's a reach for a weakness, but it can cover stuff like that up. So, and then also too, I think for Todd Monken, you can be a lot more loose with your play calling if you need to. You know, if you're Kirby Smart, 4th and 2 at the 42, you can probably go for that. You know, it just opens up a lot of opportunities for your offense, because you know, if you've seen a team the other way that has trouble stopping people, I mean, there's so much pressure on your offense because you feel like you got to score every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't miss, and if you punt, it's over. But it's just a really an elite defense makes life so much easier, really, on your entire football team.
Well, think about the way a team feels that plays Georgia. You just said, I mean, when you're Georgia, you don't have to score on every drive. When you're the opponent playing Georgia, you feel like each opportunity where you don't score, you have a decrease in 20% of even having a chance,
yeah,
at winning the game.
You know, I remember on listening to the game on the way down to Statesboro on Saturday, Georgia Tech had a play, I want to say it was early in the second quarter, where the tight end just dropped the ball wide open in the middle,
yep,
of the field.
Yep, he sure did.
And it was like, well, there it goes. That was your shot.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
you can't make that mistake and beat Georgia.
No,
that's
right.
Line is that thin.
That's exactly right. Yeah. When those are the kind of plays that a team cannot afford to drop or not catch or fumble or whatever, because Georgia will eat you alive. They will eat you alive. If you get one little play like that where you, oh, my God, there he is. Boom, he's open. And, oh, I mean, that would have been a huge play. And, no, you can't allow that to happen. And it's almost like you just see this door shut every time. You can't score on Georgia just a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, we gave you a little bit of time. You got down in the red zone. Nope, you only got three. You didn't get it. I mean, it's a shutdown defense. And I just wonder, you know, I've said on several occasions that if Georgia wins the national championship again, we may be spending part of late January and early February wondering and even looking statistically on how close these two defenses were. I mean, is this group of players hell-bent on being even better and being looked at as being even better than what last year's defense was? Because you wonder.
That's scary.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, there's obviously, we know about the first-round picks, and it's not just that there were a lot of first-round picks. Some of those guys are contributors to their pro team right now in the NFL today. And the group that's come in behind him, it's not quite the same defense, you know, in terms of how it's run.
Right.
But statistically, the results are, like you said, it's almost identical.
It's close. It's very close. I was going to pull up real quick the stats of what Georgia has done. Nationally, scoring defense, 11.3 points per game allowed. Last year, it was 10.2. So now, of course, Georgia's got to play their good opponents, three good opponents, LSU, and then perhaps two more games, obviously. But, I mean, that tells you right there, they're knocking on the door of this. That if Georgia does not have a – well, I think it's pretty obvious. If Georgia does not have a team score 30 or more points and do what we think that they can do and answer that question that I've been saying about, well, you know, can anybody score 30 points on Georgia's defense? If the answer to that question is no, they're going to be approaching 10.2. Mm-hmm. And that tells you right there. I mean, the gap last year between Georgia and the second-best scoring defense in the country was 4.6 points per game. Georgia was first at 10.2 points per game allowed. Clemson second at 14.8 points per game allowed. This year, Georgia is at 11.3. And Brett Bielema's Illini, 12.3, and then third is Michigan at 12.7. And so that's the thing about the Final Four is that, you know, if USC does beat Utah and is the fourth team, and of course they would play Georgia first, you would have a potential offensive juggernaut that obviously scores a lot of points and has a tremendous quarterback. Who I think he's going to win the Heisman. I really do think Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman. And you know how Lincoln Riley is, so you have to respect that. And then you have a defensive team with Michigan that statistically is knocking on your door and is going to say, well, yeah, we can stop Georgia. Can they stop us? And, you know, they've got a great running back that if he's healthy and he could be in another month, it could be a different ball game than it was a year ago at the Orange Bowl. So it's really interesting, though, to me that there's a great offensive team left, and I'm kind of counting out TCU, but you know, they got to earn their stripes a little bit.
They're scrappy.
Yeah, they're scrappy. But they're not like Michigan, at least on paper right now.
No, not on paper. No, they're the gutsy team. You know, they're Cinderella. My running joke today, Bill, has been, you know, that TCU, they've earned it on the field. You can't take that away from them. But it's almost like Cinderella, and it's midnight. Now you're going to swim with the big fish. It's kind of like U.S. soccer. You know, they're in the knockout round now, so we're going to swim with the big fish. But, you know, the thing is, and this is kind of what we've talked about with Georgia all year long, is you can look at these matchups, and USC's offense against Georgia's defense, I would love to see that. I would love to see if Michigan can keep the Georgia offense, like, in the teens to give them a chance to win, because you know that you're going to have to do that to beat Georgia. But it's almost like if you take USC's offense, Michigan's defense, and TCU's scrappiness, this is the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's right.
And that's what makes them so good. They're a little bit of all of that. And those other teams, I don't want to say they're one-dimensional, but, you know, Michigan did put a ton of points on Ohio State in the horseshoe, which was really impressive. But I don't think anybody's mistaken the Wolverines for an offensive juggernaut, right? And that UCLA-USC game was a lot of fun to watch, but sometimes it felt like flag football, you know? Yeah. So it's just Georgia's all of that.
No question. No question about it. And that's what makes it interesting. And I hope USC, sorry, Jeff, beats Utah this week. And we have those final four teams in there. And I hope TCU wins because I think they deserve to be in the final four. I don't want there to be any question about that. And you know, if they were to lose, there would be plenty of questions because they are looked at, as Russ said, as kind of the Cinderella team. But I think they deserve to be in there. USC this year is averaging 42.5 points per game. Last year, they averaged, give me a minute, I'm going down far, 28.7. So Lincoln Riley bringing Caleb Williams with him and Jordan Addison from Pittsburgh, the combination of that trio, and of course there's more to it than that trio, but those are the headliners, 14.2 points more per game than last year. That's impressive.
Yeah. No, it really is impressive for sure. You know, and you know, talking about TCU, I feel like they should be in regardless of what happens on Saturday, but they don't have that reputation. But I will say this, if they do get left out and it's Ohio State and USC wins, I think it's one heck of a Final Four. I mean, the way college football has been in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, maybe 8 years, if you're going to have a Final Four without Alabama or Clemson in it, that's about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, how can that be looked at as boring?
I do not know.
I know it. I know it.
Well, I mean, seriously, when people that cover the sports say stuff like that, I'm like, why do you watch if you think that's boring?
I don't get it either. And, you know, for any question that people had about Michigan, shouldn't that have been kind of cleared up the other day when they beat the crap out of Ohio State? I mean, look, if Georgia doesn't win this thing, Michigan is probably going to win it. I would think that if Georgia is not going to win the national championship this year, my money would be on Michigan. And you know, that would mean obviously they'd have to play an unbelievable game, but they've got a really good team. And to go in there and do that, what more do you need to know?
Yeah, that was an impressive victory. Yeah. I mean, of all the ways I thought that game would play out, Michigan in a blowout never crossed my mind.
They just kept on scoring, didn't they? They kept on going. John in Warner Robins joins us. Hey, John.
How's it going, Bill?
Good.
I hope, after this week, I'm afraid the committee will – I just don't want them to go in there and butcher this opportunity, because I think anything other than USC playing Georgia in the first round will be nothing but a tune-up game for UGA. So I think that I want to see this first-round matchup between UGA and USC. I mean, USC, as you saw, could score with the best of with Caleb Williams and those guys. So I think it would be a hell of a challenge with UGA's defense in a neutral site. So I hope that the committee doesn't get too involved and do a flip-flop of USC and TCU to kind of get the better matchup between, you know, hopefully a UGA-Michigan-type matchup in the championship. Make them both earn it. You know?
Well, I agree with you. I think the only thing that could change that is if USC were to blow Utah out and TCU struggle. I mean, that may – but look, I mean, where's the championship game? It's in Los Angeles, right? So – the conspiracy theory in me is going to feel the same way you are, that if something were to happen where the door would be open to have USC primed. And I mean, I don't know why they would think playing Michigan at two would be better than playing Georgia, but I guess – I don't know. I mean, I guess they would be out west with the game in Arizona. And so I don't know, but I'm with you. I that's why I hope Michigan, TCU, and USC just handle their business. Georgia, of course, handles their business, and we see those four teams. Because, look, I mean, I think you can't count TCU out against Michigan. I don't know. I mean, sure, Michigan will be favored. Michigan will be thought of as the better team, no question about that. But is there some magic this TCU team? Well, I'd rather them go through it. Look, and here's the thing, John. If TCU can go through Michigan and then Georgia or USC, hell, they are the national champion. So I'm not going to worry about that, but – I think that'd be a one tough competition to be able to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And don't get me wrong, I still think TCU is like the Michigan State. They're going to be the tune-up game for whoever. I don't think they can compete with Michigan. They can score, but Michigan actually plays a little bit of a defense. They have a pulse. So I think it's going to be, you know, I think TCU is going to be the, you know, the neighborhood go-to girl, if you get my drift, for the actual championship game. So I like to see Georgia and USC mess up, and I also want to see a Georgia-Michigan game the championship. So, you know, I actually like this top four. It's different this year. You know, it's not crowded with SEC and, you know, the lone SEC team in Clemson. So I think it's going to be entertaining for sure. So
I agree. I think so, too. And look, if same thing. If Georgia gets by USC, a great offensive team, and then a great defensive team like Michigan, nobody's going to look back and say, well, Georgia, you know, they kind of wanted a down year. The hell with that.
Oh, sure. But, Bill, I'm still holding out, you know, optimism that the CFP, the committee, is actually going to do something to screw this up by their personal opinion. So, just kind of, I wouldn't, you know, don't put the eggs in one basket here, but, you know, something's going to do something. Something's going to happen to shake it up.
You know, it could. There's no question about that. John, thank you very much. We appreciate it. 478-646-ESPN. Brad in Macon, hello.
Hey, Bill, thank you for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Doing good. Isn't it nice that there's a possibility that we won't have the four ESPN favorites, possibly could not be in the playoff this year?
It'd be kind of something, wouldn't it? How long is it going to be before people think Georgia's an ESPN favorite?
No, man, they don't. They don't give us the credit. They never will, man. And I got a question. Do you think Kirby's going to go all in? Because, you know, with Daniels not being 100%, you know, Kirby made the statement today that he's got as many SEC titles as he does national titles. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're going to go all in, or, you know, kind of hold back?
No. I think the holding back time's done. I mean, Brad, I think it the time is now. Look, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. You know, the only thing that they didn't have from last year. The only negative you want to point to last year is they didn't win the SEC championship game. Someone called up and said, and I think they're right, that you know Stetson has got to want that as part of his resume too, to be an SEC champion. It hasn't happened, obviously, for this program in 5 years. So I think you've got to push all your chips to the table, all of them. You're not saving anything. You're going to be aggressive. You're going to go for the throat. You're going to go cutthroat. You're going to try to go for the jugular right off the bat. You can't wait. You can't hold him back anything. This is it. So I think this is it. I mean, look, it's just like Brian Snicker when he talks about winning a division. It's a big damn deal to the Atlanta Braves winning a division, not only because they got a run going on, but hey, that puts them in a better position for the playoffs. And, okay, sure, if Georgia loses this Saturday, they still get in. Don't mention that in the halls of the Buttsmere build right now. that ain't going to go over very well, right? I mean, why would you not want to have a perfect season?
Well, that's it. I mean, you can have a perfect season. You can. I mean, you in a way, you know, you're talking about comparing this year's team to last year's team. If they're able to do this and win back-to-back, they win on Saturday, that means you're undefeated with an SEC title. And last year, I mean, I don't want to say it was just a national title, I mean, but you get what I'm saying. It's a better year.
Sure.
It's an undefeated season, especially in this era of 15-0. It's hard. That's hard. It's hard to win 15 games in a row.
It is. I've said it many times, Russ, and talking mainly about Alabama, the quest for perfection in this sport right now is almost unreasonable.
Yeah. Well, and once it gets to 12, it's probably going to be impossible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's just there's a lot to play for. I mean, I would be shocked, you know, if Georgia wins this game on Saturday, I would be shocked if you didn't hear that in the post game about, you know, we'll get to the playoffs, but we want to talk about what we did tonight because this really meant a lot to our players and our seniors, and because it's been 5 years.
Absolutely. I was going through my phone last week and saw a picture I took of Jake Fromm on the field after he won the SEC championship game. And, okay, I know Jake obviously fell short in the national championship game against Alabama because of second 26, but Jake Fromm will never forget beating Auburn, especially after what they did to Georgia over there in that SEC championship game. That'll be something that – and look, people still talk about SEC championship games. Seriously, when you talk about Mark Richt's career, what do you talk about? 02-05. And then it kind of drops off. 478-646-ESPN, that is our number. I'm just telling the truth. I'm a truth sayer. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Georgia-LSU game and all the other things we're talking about, the coaches and all that stuff. Good stuff on the agenda. Back with more sports talk right after this.
Back to the Bill Shanks Show on Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO, thesuperstations.com. Dance into the fire.
Know that one?
No.
That is the Wild Boy. No. Yeah, the Wild Boys. Peaked at number two on the Hot 100, released in 1984.
Number two?
Number two. Yep.
Oh,
how about that?
Man, that's rough. You really listened to that?
Yeah, I heard it. It was on.
It was on the radio. All right.
I mean, I didn't.
I mean, you would have been, what, 15?
14.
14?
Yeah,
okay. Well, I mean, if that's what the girls like, then, you know, you got to fake it. So I get it.
The Wild Boys. I don't know that one as much as, what's next, Notorious?
Let's see. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We're a little off from his schedule.
We are. We're a tad off.
You added a couple others, but that's fine. That's fine.
Well, we had to get Wiley's Thriller in there.
That's right. That's right. All right. The AJC is reporting that, a really good friend, Chad Campbell, the Peach County head coach, is retiring after 30 years at Peach County. He is from Hawkinsville, came to Peach County in 1993, succeeded Rance Gillespie as the head coach. Rance is still kicking around in high school somewhere around here.
I think so, yeah.
And it was the third year of Coach Campbell that Peach County won their championship game in 96. I mean, I'm sorry, in his third year as a head coach. Trojans then lost the finals to Burke County in 2011. They got cheated in 2017 by Calhoun and then lost to Cedar Grove the next year. Got cheated that year, too.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Back-to-back years,
back-to-back.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. Rance Gillespie's at Brookstone, by the way, in Columbus.
Okay. Wow, how about that? He's kind of bounced around, hasn't he, last couple of years. Rance, former coach at Peach County and Lowndes County, right? Mm-hmm. In between going to Georgia Southern. So, great coach himself. That'll be a lot of people want that job now. Peach County. It's hard to be a loser at Peach County.
That's a good job.
Oh, yeah. Man, alive.
Got that new field, too, new stadium.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be one of the more impressive stadiums in the state, don't you think?
Yeah. See, that's going to get the high school coach carousel spinning.
Oh,
much.
You ain't kidding. No doubt.
They'll be able
about
to track
it.
Somebody big.
That guy, well, I didn't think old Chad was old enough to retire, but he may have got his 30 years in, and good for him. That's awesome. He's a great guy. He's outstanding. And you know what? He's a hard-nosed football coach. I love him. I think he's great. I think he does a great job, and you can't have a better coach than Chad Campbell. So congratulations to him on a great career there at Peach County High School. Back to the phones we go. Ken and Macon. Hey, Killer.
Hey, Bill Shanks, I got something to tell you.
Oh, God, what's going on?
Okay, a couple of nights ago, I was, like, dreaming of something, and I was dreaming about Georgia when they play in the national championship, playing the games, and guess what happened at the end?
What happened?
Something happened. Stenson Bennett wasn't doing good, so they put my man Carson Beck, and he won it all.
You're making that up. You didn't dream that. Come on.
I did. Oh, I told my son that. I got a special play on my trumpet after that, okay?
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Is that the trumpet or something else?
Leslie Nielsen in the house.
Valve stuff.
That was valve stuff.
4-hour show. That sounds like a personal problem. That's great, Killer. Thank you. That we need a little Christmas cheer around here. It's getting ready to be December tomorrow, so we appreciate that.
Did you get something from me? I left it at the.
We did. We got your card, and we are very appreciative. Thank you so much. That was nice of you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Okay. All right, Killer. You'll call back tomorrow, won't he?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Can he be the artist of the week next Wednesday?
Yeah. Killer, are you still there? He's gone.
And I should still be there.
Killer, are you there?
Yes.
Russ wants you to be the comeback music player next Wednesday. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. We need, how many songs do we need, Russ?
We need
one, two.
I think six.
We need six songs. So you'll have to be on the line, and when we come back from commercial, every time at 20 and 40 minutes after the hour at 3, 4, and 5 o'clock with a different tune every time.
I'll try.
Okay.
I'm kidding, but it might work.
No, you went down that road.
I'm
driving through it, baby. Are you kidding? You open the door, I'm walking right through it. That means we need six different songs.
We'll try.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
That's good. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Killer. Yeah, we talked about having a theme for every Wednesday show with our comeback music. So next week, you know, we go from Duran Duran to Ken from Macon.
Hey, I might have to go with the latter on that one after some of the stuff I've heard today. do you really think he dreamt about Carson Beck leading Georgia to the national championship?
No, I don't. I dreamed something the other day. Can I tell you about my dream the other night?
Sure.
It's not graphic. I dreamed I was going to jail for 48 hours, and it was the weirdest.
What'd you do?
I don't know.
just 48 hours, huh?
But here's the deal, seriously. And you know, it's hard to remember your dreams. You know, sometimes you'll wake up and you'll, okay, well, that was a weird dream. And then, hell, you've forgotten about it by 9 a.m., right? You can't remember it. Here it is. I mean, this was yesterday, you know, Monday night / Tuesday morning. I'm in a lobby, and, like, a federal agent is coming to get me, and I'm wondering, well, I wonder if I could have my phone in there. And I'm like, what the heck am I going to do for 48 hours? And, I mean, they were, like, coming to get me. And I was in a lobby. And it was weird now. I don't know what I've done. But I was head out for a couple of days.
Wow.
It was weird.
Like a weekend stay?
Yeah, like, you know.
Check in on Friday, check out on Sunday?
Yes, that's what it was. It was like I was checking in. And I'm like, what have I done? I didn't even know what I had done. I just was getting ready to – I didn't have anything with me except my phone. I'm like, well, I wonder if they'll allow me to have my phone while I'm in jail for 48 hours.
That's crazy.
It was weird now. It was real because I, you know, I don't have a propensity to dream about illegal activity going on in my life that would cost me 48 hours of my freedom. But yet, there I was. I was heading out for somewhere. So, anyway, I hope that dream doesn't come true. I'm better be careful on the way home tonight. But anyway, just weird. Weird.
That is weird.
Very, very weird. All right, 478-646 ESPN. Man, he just calls up and starts playing the horn like that, doesn't he?
I'm surprisingly talented.
That's not easy to play, I'm sure, right?
No, especially when your valve gets stuck like that.
That sounds like a personal problem. A lot of people who are listening who are older may understand that. 478-646 ESPN. We'll take a break, come back. More sports talk, more phone calls right after this.
Now, back to the Bill Shanks Show on Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO, thesuperstations.com.
Bad boys! Bad boys! Bad boys! Bad boys!
I don't know this one. What is this one?
It says Wild Boys.
Oh, Wild Boys. So, well, what was the other one then? If this one's Wild... Oh, okay. The last one was A View to the Kill. Well, that was from the movie, the James Bond movie.
The Wild Boys are calling.
This is the Wild Boys. Oh, yeah, I remember this. This is a different version, though. Chris put, like, the long LP version or something. Yeah, this isn't, like, the 45. Not that I bought it or anything. Yeah, it's Wild Boys. Duran Duran. There you go. Okay. So that was Wild Boys. So the last one was A View to the Kill. So we've gone The Reflex, Wild Boys. Okay. The Reflex, A View to the Kill, the Wild Boys. So we'll miss out on Notorious, but everybody knows that. You know that one, don't you?
Let's see. I can fire it up here.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
Let's do this.
In our best of Duran Duran.
Notorious, Notorious.
You know that one?
Yeah, this song was... It's been sampled a couple times.
Okay.
And I've heard this first. I did not realize this was Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard this one.
Yeah. Okay, now, the next one was Hungry Like the Wolf.
Now, everybody's knows that one, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's a... This is song. This is good. Now, this is good.
Yeah, see there?
This is good.
This only peaked at number 3 on the Hot 100.
Well,
1982.
Must have been a lot of good songs out that year.
Yeah. 82 is a good year. Braves were winning.
That's
13
right.
13 in a row. And then the last one was, Is There Something I Should Know? Released in 1983, peaked at number 4 on the Hot 100. Oh, yeah.
I don't know this one.
Yeah, come on.
Because you know what it is? They played Hungry Like the Wolf on MTV for like... All the way through like 85, 86, 87.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I know it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember these. Yeah, this is like, you know, third segment of the 5 o'clock hour, like now, on the Big Wolf in 1987. Oh, man. All right. So here's the Duran Duran. So next week it'll be Ken from Macon taking over. Make sure you get the Hot 100 list out for that Google search there, Russ.
Now, I think he's going to play some tunes from his Christmas album.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Macon's a music town, and so is Savannah. So if anybody's listening that may want a Christmas album produced, Ken may be your guy. I mean, especially since Doc Severinsen is no longer performing at 95. Hey, Ken from Macon's out there. All right. Want to join us on the show? You can. 478-646-ESPN. That is our number. All right, I mentioned earlier that I saw a NFL mock draft. Did you see this?
Was this Brugler's?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay, did y'all talk about it at lunch? Okay.
We did not.
Okay, number one, Houston, who do you think?
Oh, that's Bryce Young.
Overrated. I'm glad the Falcons aren't drafting him.
Really?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Number two, Chicago, Will Anderson. Three, Detroit. From the Rams, wow, how about that? So from the Matthew Stafford trade that you never thought would be a bad draft pick, all of a sudden the Rams have the third pick, and Detroit gets Jalen Carter
wow.
at number three. Detroit's got some talent coming up there, don't they?
And Dan Campbell is building lines of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why couldn't we hire him?
He's got Penny Sewell on there, right? Yep. And, you know, they're getting ready to have Jameson Williams maybe playing a game or two by the end of the year.
That's right.
Seattle at number four from Denver in the trade for now, okay, if I think Bryce Young's overrated compared to Russell Wilson, he's not. Miles Murphy from Clemson going to Seattle. Carolina at number five, who do you think?
No, I've already seen it, but oh. I mean, I could say C.J. Stroud and sound really smart, like I'm guessing. Well,
why not? I won't give you
I would say C.J. Stroud, Bill.
Damn, you're right.
Oh!
Then Philadelphia from New Orleans because the Saints suck, and that was a really bad move right there. I didn't get that when they did that last year. They moved up in the draft, and, I mean, it was for Olave, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Olave from Ohio State. They moved up to get him at, like, number 11, and they gave up their first-round pick for this year. And it's number six right now. And listen to this. They've got the Eagles taking Brian Breesy from Clemson. How about putting him with Jordan Davis on that Philadelphia line of scrimmage?
Yeah, and I think Fletcher Cox is, what, 31, 32 now?
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, you just slide Breesy right in behind him and just keep on trucking. And that's, again, lines of scrimmage.
Lines of scrimmage. Hello, Falcons. Number seven, Arizona has Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State. Number eight, Green Bay. They suck. Tyree Wilson, defensive lineman from Texas Tech. What's the point of getting a receiver? That would be so funny if they get rid of – Aaron Rodgers and they took a wide receiver in the first round. Number nine, Christian Gonzalez, cornerback from Oregon, going to the Raiders. 10 is Peter Skoronski from Northwestern, guard, going to Houston. That's from Cleveland in the Deshaun Watson trade, which we got to see what Watson does this week, right? He plays this week.
I guess, yeah.
Number 11, the Jaguars get a receiver for Trevor, Quentin Johnston from TCU. He would be the first receiver. Pittsburgh, 12, Khalil Ringo, cornerback, Georgia. For all the angst about Ringo, he's still looked at as a number one cornerback, and Pittsburgh obviously is having a rough year. Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State just declared for the draft just a few moments ago, and he's taken 13th in this draft by Detroit. Indianapolis takes Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky. That'd probably be a very popular pick there. In Indiana, that close to Lexington, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think the shoulder's going to have to check out here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, his struggles this year, it has to be injury, right? I mean, I know.
he's overrated.
I mean, seriously overrated. I mean, he's got to have something wrong with that shoulder.
I think so, too. They even mentioned the recently fired play caller, Rich Scangarello, is part of the problem. Well, we'll see. I mean, he certainly wasn't playing like a big-time player for the NFL. 15 Falcons. Who do you you already seen it. Mm-hmm. Jared Verse, the edge from Florida State, says the Falcons rank near the bottom of the league in generating pressure from the defensive line, and sidebar they have since Patrick Kearney left, especially for the edges, a transfer from FCS-level Albany. Jared Verse is an active pass rusher with get-off speed and power through his frame to deconstruct blocks in different ways. He is among the best in the country at making plays in enemy territory with 14.5 tackles for loss this season. There you go. That's the pick for the Falcons in this mock draft. Seattle takes Brian Branch from Alabama. Chargers at 17, Lucas Von Ness from Iowa. Jordan Addison, the former Pitt Panther, now at USC. goes to the Patriots at 18. Cam Smith from South Carolina to Tampa Bay at 19. 20, Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia, goes to the Commanders. Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, goes 21st to the Ravens. Jets take Trenton Simpson, linebacker. Were they not taking a quarterback? I'm kidding. What are they going to do with that situation?
They looked a lot better on Sunday with you-know-who in street clothes.
So. You ain't kidding. I mean, that's just – he might as well go ahead and get into TV. Michael Meyer, the tight end from Notre Dame, the Bengals at 23. Drew Sanders, the linebacker from Arkansas, the Giants at 24. Nolan Smith from the Bulldogs at 25 to the Broncos. God bless him. Here we go, Russ. Darnell Washington, tight end, Tennessee, going 26th in the draft. From the University of Georgia, going to the time.
Just imagining him in that offense, lead blocking for Derrick Henry. My goodness.
You ain't kidding. That's pretty impressive to think about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless Marcus Mariota was back there quarterbacking. Dallas Cowboys at 27 take Devon Witherspoon from Illinois. Buffalo takes Osiris Torrance from Florida, the guard. Jackson Smith and Ojimba, the wide receiver who's now hurt from Ohio State, goes to the Vikings at 29. Jalen Hyatt, Will's boy from Tennessee, goes to the Chiefs at 30. I think he'll go higher. Gibbs from Alabama goes to the Eagles at 31. And B.J. Ojulari goes to the Rams there at 32. There you go. All right, 478-646-ESPN. Keith is in Reynolds. Hello, Keith.
What's going on, Bill?
How are you?
It's a long time. I've been listening to your show for so long, and it's the first time I've called.
Well, I'm glad.
You probably know who I am.
I think I do. I know your brother, so if that's it, I know who you are.
That's right.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk about Chad. I mean, I was in high school in 90. I graduated in 97. I think I was there when he was my baseball coach in 95 and 96.
Okay.
He wasn't even the head football coach back in those days, but. Man, I'm just sad to hear about that. I still work for the school system, but that's a good guy right there. I love Chad Campbell.
He's awesome. I tell you, I know he says he's retiring, but if I had a head coaching job open, I'm calling him. Aren't you?
Oh, I am too. I mean, he might be retiring from Peach County, but I promise you might see him somewhere else in the next couple of years.
I agree.
That's a coach right there that you want to have.
Somebody's going to tempt him and say, you know what, I want Chad Campbell to coach my team, and he would get him on track, though. He's awesome. He's one of my favorite. I agree. I didn't play for him, of course, but he's not that old, but he's great.
He was one of my favorite baseball coaches I ever had when I played for him. I never played football. I mean, I was a little scrawny guy. But
you left that to your brother. You left that to your brother, didn't you?
Yeah, I left that to my brother. You know, he was a lot bigger. I done caught up with him now. I done got a little weight on me myself, but. Back in those days, I was a 150 and about 5'7", so I wasn't about to play football with those Peach County boys because they grown different than that.
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. You're right. You're right. No question. Well, I'm glad you called Keith to talk about Chad. He's a great coach, and you know what? I don't think he's done yet. Something tells me he's going to be back because he's too young to retire.
He is, and I mean, I'll be honest with you. One of the only reasons I don't call you is I get off at 3 o'clock every day. I go to work at 5 in the morning. I'm off at 3, but I listen to your show every day the next day.
Well, look, if you get off at 3 o'clock, you should call.
It's honeydew times. I have to honeydew. And I am listening to your show sometimes in my truck, but most of the time I save your show for the next day on
okay.
your podcast.
That's fine.
I get bored of all these morning shows, so I listen to your show the next day.
Okay, that's fine. All right, Keith. Well, hey, man, we appreciate it. I hope you call again soon, okay?
Hey, I love your show, and I love Russ's show, too.
All right, awesome. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Keith.
Yep, thanks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, he's comes from a good family. His brother and I are good friends. I don't know if I should have asked Keith if he's a Florida State fan like his brother. His brother's a big Florida State fan. Oh, where's that? Like Tommy, where's that Florida State crap all over the place?
Oh, what a great time to be a Florida State fan.
Oh, yeah, they're back. Did you hear?
That's right. Not like Texas.
No, not like Texas. Not like Texas, that's for sure. Well, you know what? Well, high school football is getting into that semifinal. And You know what? It's going to be fun this weekend.
Yeah. It's tomorrow, right? It's like championship games tomorrow.
That's right. That's you right. Know. Some of the TIAA games, including your John Millage Trojans.
That's right.
Tomorrow.
A streak that the Bulldogs are envious of.
Man, alive.
You think Georgia's dominant. 12-8 was cute.
I mean, 49.
It would be 50 if they win tomorrow,
right? It
would
be 50 if they win tomorrow. You know, if JT loses tomorrow, I'm firing him.
Well, I don't have that kind of influence and power down there, so you'll have to go through another channel.
Oh, no, we love JT. And, of course, Russ grew up with JT Wall, and he's outstanding. Can you believe that John Millage has got the longest winning streak in Georgia high school history?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's what that's awesome. I'm so happy for him.
It is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they, you know.
I mean, he's just so daggum competitive.
You think? You know more than I do. But.
I mean, everything, man. Anything we did, he had to win.
Oh, man. I'm sure. You know, I tell you what, and talking about Chad, there's some great high school football coaches. Hey, I mean, he's been one of my favorites forever, you know, in the 15 years I've been back doing the show here. And, I mean, and another former Peach County coach, Rodney Walker, is a great friend of mine, and he was great. You got a place like Peach County, though. I mean, my Lord, seriously. There will be unbelievable amount of interest in that job right there. And but Chad's great, and one of the many great football coaches that just make football so important here. And here's the thing about Chad. Football games on Friday start at 8 o'clock. Not 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I love it. I'm with him. I agree. That's what he says. He said, nope, football starts at 8 o'clock on a Friday. And you know what? He's right. You're listening to The Bill Shanks Show.